The Business of Software podcast, sharing sessions from our conferences and discussions with software people that will make you think. Find out more at businessofsoftware.org.
Hi, welcome to the Boss Podcast. It's Mark Littlewood again. I'm joined today by Lucy Heskins, who's based in a place called Wales, which is very near England. She's a marketeer and she works with, among other people, Bob Mester at the Rewired Group. So we're going to talk today about a topic that is super interesting and comes up time and time again. And that's, how do you partner with an agency to grow your startup or your scale up? And I think this is an interesting area. It's an interesting thing to talk about because so many people get it wrong. So many people think about taking an agency on and they expect all their problems to disappear, and doesn't necessarily work. Lucy's come from the agency, essentially running an agency herself at the moment, but she's worked in a number of organizations where she's worked with agencies. So she sees things from both sides. And we're going to be talking today about how you can make a success of that engagement. So welcome, Lucy.
Hello.
It's so great to work. So great to have you on. Just some fantastic insights that you've got, and would be, I think, best thing to do to start off is just introduce yourself and say a little bit about why you're so amazing.
In effect, I help early stage startups to kind of validate their ideas and go to market. But I also work with founding teams to help them build their marketing function and show them that marketing should actually be part of their kind of core DNA. Now, previous to running O'Blimey, the consultancy that I do day to day, I have worked in B2B startups for 10 years. I've got the scars, the stripes, the grey hair, just from experiencing what it's like to be kind of that a member of the founding team. And as part of this, I have had the kind of pleasure or the experience of working with agencies at different stages of startups' growth. And it's through kind of this experience that I then went into consultancy and I set up O'Blimey. So I think that's what I'm here to talk to you today, Mark, is really, how do you navigate a partnership with an agency to grow your startup?
Great. So let's dive in. When should you take an agency on?
Okay. So I think one of the first things I would kind of caveat this with is, in my opinion, a lot of startups hire marketers too soon. So for me, if you are at the kind of customer validation stage or the customer demand stage, so when you are literally about to go to market, outsource as much as you can. And the reason being is that you just don't have time to learn. Chances are you have a problem that you're looking to solve. You've got these big ideas about the product you're going to launch. You've been busy talking to potential investors. You're talking to customers. You don't have the time to make the mistakes of learning how to market to the audiences that you think you're going after. So in a nutshell, do it as soon as possible, because by bringing an agency or consultancy or freelancer on, it helps to speed up your learning. And then when you realize what works, what's repeatable, then you can then you can understand what's worth bringing in-house, what type of marketing you need to bring in-house. And I kind of base this on experience. So the last startup that I worked for in-house, I was offered a digital marketing role. And I said, Lucy, do you want to come in and help us set up demand generation, help us get in front of all these new audiences? And I was like, wicked. Yes, please. They just secured investment. And I turn up with my little spreadsheets and my expectations of these lovely budgets and how I was going to implement HubSpot. And for about 6-7 weeks, I really didn't enjoy my job. And at one point I thought, I don't know if I'm even a marketer anymore, because I wasn't delivering on what I thought I was going to be doing. I wasn't doing what I was meant to be doing. And I, in effect, was trying to kind of force a go-to market that I knew worked at a previous business onto this startup. And it wasn't until we kind of really delved into what the problem was. I thought I was coming into this startup at the customer demand stage. So Steve Blank talks about the kind of four stages of growing a startup. I thought, or rather what I was told was, we are nearly at product market fit. And if you're listening to
nearly,
the podcast,
nearly is doing a lot of work there in that.
Inverted commas, nearly product market fit. But actually, I realized that there are loads of steps that have been missed on regarding validating the problem, who the customer was, why the customer might switch from their existing solution to this new startup. And all of a sudden, you realize that actually, I'm not doing the marketing that I thought I was going to be doing. And there was such misalignment. So I think back to the kind of point, when should you kind of bring in an agency? I think you need to understand what stage you're at, because that's ultimately going to determine the activities or the deliverables that an agency will do and whether it will kind of work. Sorry, I went off. I started going off on one of my rants. There's going to be a few more coming through.
The ranting is encouraged. And I think that... So I push back a little bit on this, because there is this, I think, tension. You say as soon as possible, bring an agency in as soon as possible to do some of this stuff. But the classic thing is people bring people in too early without being set up to use people effectively. And I think that understanding where you are is a really important piece of that. Puzzle. Mm-hmm. Founders aren't just time constrained, they're resource constrained. Using agencies can be pretty expensive. There are lots of stories about people outsourcing something and, you know, it's not successful, and then they're like, we tried that, we're not going to do it again. And there's obviously lots of reasons for that. So just dig in if you can, understand where you are as a startup.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have some budget for an agency and you're pre-product market fit. What should you sort of spend that money on?
Yeah, okay. No, that's a fair question. I think typically I would be brought in, and I work with founders that are at the validation stage. So typically they are in the midst of kind of founder selling. So my deliverables are around helping them to discover what Matt Lerner refers to as message market fit or language market fit,
mm-hmm.
and building an audience. Those are the two things that I can control that will add value to that founder or that startup at the moment. So for me, these are kind of core outputs, because if I'm being brought in to run campaigns, well, what language am I going to be using? And what motivations am I appealing to? And what channels am I going to be using? There's all of kind of this research and strategy that needs to kind of come in. So in terms of kind of the outcomes, I think know what stage you're at.
Yep.
And then devise or work with the founder to say, okay, this is actually realistically what I can deliver. Because I'll give you an example. I was working with an agency who were hired by a client. And the client was getting frustrated because leads weren't coming in. This agency was hired to deliver organic social media campaigns for a B2B product. So
why?
And the thing is, though, there are things you don't know. So yeah. From the founder's perspective, they don't realize that actually organic social media is a great channel, but it's unscalable. It's only one part of kind of the whole buying process or the channels that you would use to kind of get somebody to buy and sell something. They also didn't realize that if you were going to use something like LinkedIn, you can't expect an immediate sale. It's not around cost per lead. It's around cost per email. It's about collecting email addresses and building the audience as well. So I think there is a learning part here. And I think from an agency perspective, they need to be open about what they can deliver and not overselling, because they're only kind of going to shoot themselves in the foot 6 months down the line anyway.
Okay, cool. So what are the, let's move on a little bit and look at some of the other, because you've talked about, I think, was it six rules?
Yes, six. Six rules.
First rule, understand where you are. What's the second one?
Know your customer's experience. Now, realize that is a very kind of jargony, high-level marketing statement to make here, but I will sometimes be approached by startups and they'll say, we want to use your services to help us generate leads. And I'm like, cool, okay. Let's kind of lift up the lid, lift the bonnet and see what's going on regarding your model. And you kind of lift the lid and you go, whoa, okay. And you realize that I'm being brought in to generate leads, but actually there's a fundamental problem with retention. Like the retention rate is 12, 16%. Mm. Or there's actually a problem with the free trial to conversion rates. So from my perspective, I'm being hired to bring in leads to generate demand, but people are only going to turn up to this platform and they're going to fall out the other end. Now, I think if I was the founder in that perspective, I would work with the agency to say, how do I get the retention rate up to 40, 60%, whatever kind of benchmark you're using? How do I fix that problem before I then look at the demand problem? Again, like you're a startup, you're just beginning. You're not going to have all of these metrics sorted. You're not going to be best in class. Like some of the big businesses are still not best in class again, whatever that means. But I think as long as you're aware of your entire kind of customer experience, where the potential gaps or leaks are, then all of a sudden the marketing comes a lot more joined up and it becomes a lot more strategic. So I think that's definitely the second rule I would say is know your customer experience so you know then where your gaps are.
So yeah, and that's always a challenge. There's always a conversation to be had there because in all lots of situations, someone comes to you and says, oh, I'd like an X. And if the agency doesn't understand why you want an X, they may go off and deliver you an X, but X may actually not be the answer. Having those types of conversations sometimes can be quite hard. From an agency perspective, if someone comes to you and says, I want to do a social media campaign for our B2B thing, how do you have that gentle talk with them that might not be the right thing? Or do you just put the phone down?
No, they literally see my facial expression. I think if you'd asked me this 10 years ago, my answer would be really different. But I think because I'm older and because I think I've experienced growing a startup from an in-house perspective, I've got, again, a different perspective. And I very much pride myself on being honest and transparent about this kind of conversation. So if somebody said that to me, I literally would say, well, actually, if you want this to work, you're probably going to need to hire me for a project before, and this is why. So we would then go through kind of the competition, and we'd go through running jobs to be done interviews. We'd go through kind of what the customer experience is. And then I would say, only now can I suggest that we work on this B2B social media campaign, because there are so many things that need to kind of fall in place before I know that the B2B campaign can be a success. And sometimes that's you just have to walk away from the conversations. But I think a red flag for me is if a startup is very kind of pushy about wanting a campaign. Perhaps they've got pressure. Perhaps they've got pressure from investors. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. But I don't think it's fair to kind of work on that campaign without all the steps before. It's just kind of a waste of time for everyone, really.
Okay. Let's talk about the next thing. Six rules. Third rule.
I'm using a Bob Mesterism here. Meet them where they're at. So let's say you are a startup founder and you are considering working with an agency. Where is the agency themselves operating? Like, what are they really good at? And truly, what is the experience and the kind of case studies they have? So I'll work with some people and they'll say, yeah, I've got experience of working with startups. And I find that a really kind of I'd really like to drill into that, because what does that actually what does that mean? I mean, it's jargon bingo. I mean, if I wanted to really understand whether an agency had worked with a startup, I would ask them things like, have you marketed to my particular audience? Have you got experience of solving this type of problem? So is it a later, like, what stage of awareness does this audience have? Or is the problem that you're trying to solve a painkiller or vitamin? Do they know the kind of the complexities around that? Have they worked in this type of market before? And I don't necessarily mean a marketplace, SaaS apps or anything like this. I mean, are you creating a category? Are you resegmenting a market? Are you going in niche? Because all of those need different marketing strategies. They need very, very different marketing budgets as well. And so that's why I think it's worth just kind of really pushing someone to say, when you say startup, what does that actually mean? Does that mean that you've just read a couple of books about, I don't know, the lean startup and lean analytics, or actually have you truly experienced the kind of dynamics in place that are going to impact the work that you do for people? Again, this doesn't always make me kind of like, I think people value where I'm coming from, because all of a sudden it opens up a lot more questions, because they realize actually there's a little bit more work that needs to be done. So I think you've got to ask these hard questions though.
So, maybe we can come back to this later on, but I fear one of the things about marketing is it's filled with esoteric terms that people nod sagely and no one has any actual idea about what they are or what the agreed definition is. And it doesn't matter whether that's product market fit or the startup. I mean, startup as a broader thing can be anything, from someone doing a side project that has no revenue to something very different. I remember having a conversation with, I think it was like a Saatchi guy who was talking about their startup program that they had. And actually this is kind of corporate spin out where you've got someone like, I don't know, Procter & Gamble, who were launching a new category. And for them, that's startup. And they've only got, you know, they're talking about little budgets. 5-10 million for an advertising campaign. That's not what most people would consider a startup. So I think, yeah, really kind of digging into these the terms and the understanding the experience is really good. And then, so if you've found the right individual, the right organization, the right agency, how do you then kind of go about working out what you want to do? And I suppose there's two approaches here. One is founder goes to agency and says, I want an X. And the other is, I want a thing, but I'm not quite sure which. And I guess that second conversation is probably an easier one to have. But how do you sort of make that match?
Yeah, so I'm using the word agency really generally here, because you can obviously get agencies that develop features, develop websites, and then you've got marketing content and whatnot. So I'm aware that there's a whole kind of market here, but if I kind of remain within the camp of content and growth here, I think that it's worth attending kind of marketing talks and hearing the stories that people share in the case studies, because otherwise, if you just go to one type of agency, you're very much going to be pigeonholed into the offering that they've got. So I think for me, if I was talking to a founder and advising the type of agency that they might want to explore, I'd first say kind of do some of your homework. And what I mean by that is there's a quote by, I think it's Brian Halligan, where when you decide on which channels you're going to use or marketing activity, think about the channels that your customers use to research and buy a product or service like yours. And all of a sudden, you probably read the book that says that there are some like 19 traction channels available. I mean, it might be 18 now, because look what's happening to Twitter. But 19, and you go, okay, if you're not going to use all of them, which ones do you focus on? which ones are scalable, which ones are unscalable. And I think it's through customer interviews and interviews that you have with kind of audiences and the market researches that you do, you start understanding that there might be a magic number of about 5 or 6 channels that might be right to help your startup grow. You might use SEO from a top of the funnel perspective. You might use case studies, content marketing when you're going further down the funnel, but just have a feel for where your customers are when they're making a decision to go on to the next stage of the buying process. And I realize that that's probably, again, a little bit more jargony, but all of a sudden that exercise helps you to discount certain channels. So when you've got an idea of what that kind of makeup looks like, then go to an agency. And all of a sudden you have the options of specialists. You have agencies that offer multiple services as well. And I think that from that perspective, you're looking at agencies from a feature perspective. I think the next conversation that needs to kind of happen is how they work, whether you share the same values, whether they are able to, I don't know, help you with reporting, or, I mean, that's kind of like the next stage of when you decide who to move forward with. But I just think that it's worth just having an idea of the 5 or 6 channels that you believe are useful in helping a customer to kind of research, find and buy a product like yours. And I kind of go back to that example that I mentioned earlier where the founder was getting frustrated because they literally went to an agency and said, can you do organic social media for my B2B product?
Yes.
Just assuming that LinkedIn was the only thing that people used to buy and sign up for a recruitment technology system. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it's, and there's a lot of resource out there available that talks to kind of startup founders about channels. And I wouldn't say that you need to go in depth, but I think that it'll give you the kind of upper hand or more confidence when you start these conversations as well, because all of a sudden you can go, well, actually my customers are saying that they use X. Why are you pushing me down the TikTok route, for example? Yeah. No offense to TikTok.
Other talks are available, probably. We are duty bound to say. Interesting. So, growth and marketing. Maybe this is a bigger conversation as well. But agencies quite often are thought of as a way to kind of do pure marketing. Mm-hmm. How do you know whether you should have a growth agency or a marketing agency? What's the difference?
Oh, okay. From my perspective, growth to me is the entire process. It's everything from awareness, acquisition, activation, going through the pirate metrics here, but it encompasses everything from attracting someone, keeping them there, making sure that your product or your service delivers on the kind of the jobs to be done, and ensuring that they are a recurring customer. It's the entire life cycle. That's from my perspective. I'm very lucky that I studied a framework called the customer-led growth framework by the founders of Forget the Funnel, and they are very effective in showing how founders and how SaaS businesses in particular can operationalize marketing to really consider every single stage of that customer's journey. Marketing, again, from my perspective, is how do you get more people raising their hand and saying, I would like to try this service. I'm interested in the service. This is my perception of a service. And it's kind of, if you think of it as kind of a baton race, like a relay, I'm clearly a sports person because of my use of terminology there. But marketing is kind of that first one. Here you go, here's the baton. I've got people that have heard of us and they're starting to come to the website. That's that part, but growth to me is that part, and then all the rest. It's to me, it's more strategic, but again, personal perspective.
Interesting. Just why so many people love to be strategic. So growth's much better, right?
Oh yeah, do you know what? If I say, well, I've noticed on my blog, if I write anything around customer research, engagement is fairly low. Those people that do come through that are interested are very engaged, but generally it's quite low. If I put the word growth in there, it's still the same thing. But if I put the word growth, all of a sudden I get so many people going, "Oh my goodness, that was an amazing article." Yeah, just chuck the word growth on everything then. It's because customer research isn't sexy, but growth is.
Wow, you should do growth on the blockchain.
Oh God, my brain just hurt then.
So, okay, so next step, this is something you talked about, and we've talked about a little bit before, but it's that kind of strategy piece. And strategy means so many things to different people, and people are desperate to be strategic. Not many people necessarily know what it means. How much of your growth strategy should come from your agency versus you come to your agency with a growth strategy? Or is that a kind of a collaborative process, something you define and refine as you go?
I think it's collaborative, because I think that you go to an agency or consultancy like myself, where from a kind of startup's perspective, you're still navigating things, you're still learning. And for me, if you're going to validate and grow a startup, it's not just a set of features, it's the founder's vision, it's how you're going to go to market. So I think use your agency from an educational perspective, from a collaborative perspective, because they're going to speed up your learnings in what kind of growth strategy you should go after, which channels work for an audience, how audiences best respond to things. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I think the founder has to lead it. The founder has to own it, because kind of the agency's perspective, they've got a very different kind of end game. They're looking to grow their own business. You're on two different trajectories there. So I think as long as you're kind of open about things, use one another, like be collaborative, but don't hand over all responsibility to them.
Okay, so then you've found an agency, you've had that conversation, or those conversations, you've worked out where you want to where you want to go and what do you want to achieve. When you're interviewing someone, when you're hiring someone, you know, you do some due diligence, particularly with salespeople. If salespeople tend to be very good at selling, and they tend to be, you know, their best sale is themselves. And I'm sure similar sort of thing exists or is true in the agency relationship. Everybody kind of looks amazing and everybody wants you to see their best work. And what's the sort of DD? What's the research you should be doing to really work out? If we think about this kind of first part as the reasons to buy and the reasons to engage, then you need to look at the, okay, what are the issues? What are the challenges? How do you do that?
Yeah, so I think in terms of deciding where an agency is right for you, there's a number of criteria. So I have no problem when a startup approaches me and asks for testimonials from other clients that have tried to solve a similar challenge. I think if you are worried about customers talking to prospective customers, then there is a slight concern there, because ultimately that is a reference, just like if you were going for a job. I think there are obviously, if speak to other customers, see the kind of case studies that people offer within that, very much, are they working in the same market? Are they helping to solve similar type of problems? Also ask for examples of previous work. Again, if somebody said to me, can you give me an overview of a lead magnet and the outcome that this customer edit that one out.
No, we're gonna keep it. It just shows you're human. That's my AI bot chat.
Check. Oh, chat. Do blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so if you ask to see outcomes or kind of project deliverables you've done for another client, share that. I mean, obviously get permission, but if somebody said to me, I'd like to see examples of landing pages, lead magnets, and a conversation about how the process went, then again, that's a great way to kind of approach the project. I think another example is ask for kind of not paid for pilots, but initially engage with them on a project basis, and then if it works out, then turn to a monthly retainer. I mean, ask for kind of flexible project terms as well. That's another example. I think are those enough. If somebody wants to understand whether they would work for me, I'd have a chemistry call and work out actually if we get along.
Yeah,
because personality, values, working styles, to me, are a lot more important than kind of like those kind of physical things.
And also, you're really difficult to get along with.
I'm a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I'm a pain.
It's always something I've felt with you, Lucy.
Do you know what? I every kind of few months I make sure I practice what I preach, and I ask my clients to fill in kind of a survey or just kind of like a how's it going temperature check type thing. And one of my clients the other day, I said, can you just sum up what it's like to work with me? And I was like, oh God, here we go. What's going to come back? And I got that I'm empathetic, which initially I thought, oh, I wanted something like groundbreaking.
Trusting, probing.
Yeah, just anything like that.
Visionary, strategic.
Yeah, just jargon bingo again. But I actually realized that for that, and that came back from a few clients, and that actually to me was kind of like a good reflection of actually what a good working relationship is with clients. Because you realize that actually right at the beginning when I set up Oh Blimey, I used to get frustrated that some startup teams weren't completing the project as soon as possible. We weren't getting through the number of interviews as fast. And I was there coming from the perspective of, I've been in a startup. I know you've got to work 100 miles an hour and you've got to do X, Y, and Z. And then you very, very realize that there are so many voices and you don't have to listen to all of them. You've just got to listen to, you get a feel for it and then work out what's right for you. So I kind of went around the houses, but I think, yeah, just working styles is probably the message I would probably want you to take away from that answer.
Yeah. Great. We're going to run out of time as ever because that's the way it works. Let me just one. Is there one big red flag when you're having these conversations as an entrepreneur with an agency that would really make you think no? And actually the other way around, from an agency's perspective, what's the big red flag that makes an agency think this is never going to work, or I'm sure no one ever does this, but okay, I'm just going to take this money and I know it's going to be a disaster.
I think so. First of all, this red flag, it's so big I'm kind of waving it from Cardiff. I hope you can see it. I'm acting as well right now. I think if an agency does not insist in talking to a handful of your ideal customers, or at the very least ask to see recordings of customer interviews, that is a big problem. Because how are they going to understand the struggle that a customer is going through? How are they going to understand the language they use to articulate the problem that they are trying to solve? Without that, how on earth do you deliver campaigns? Do you know what I mean? And sometimes,
it's a great one.
Yeah, and even when I have hired marketers for my own teams, when I've worked in-house, I've any kind of marketer that's shied away from talking to a customer, that's been a red flag. So that's definitely the kind of the big flag. If an agency doesn't ask to talk to customers or at least look at the recordings, then be a bit concerned. Now, from an agency perspective, I think I was going to say the kind of startup that goes, how much can I get for this? And all of a sudden it talks about cutting costs, but price is rarely the issue. There's obviously there's something going on at kind of behind the scenes. And I think that for me, it's a lack of engagement, lack of interest from the startup. So I've been there. I've had a couple of clients that have been disinterested. They were very interested at the beginning, but they weren't prepared to listen if we uncovered new struggles, anxieties that customers had about their product. They weren't necessarily interested in saying, well, actually, we should be sorting out this conversion rate before we even look at attracting new leads, because you've got a few leaks here and it's going to kind of end up biting you in the ass later on. And it's that kind of reluctance that I think that would be kind of the main thing. Because some people can be difficult to work with from a pricing perspective, but it's possibly because they're just really conscious about money. They're worried about run rate. It's the lack of engagement. It's the lack of interest that is the red flag from an agency perspective.
Makes perfect sense. Well, what a really interesting way to finish up. And I'd love the red flag for the entrepreneur, which I wasn't quite sure what you were going to say there, because I think there's lots of different ways of approaching it. But actually, does an agency want to speak directly with customers before you engage is super, super interesting. Actually, it makes perfect sense. And maybe that's a good check. Lucy, thank you so much. That was really, really interesting. Okay, where are you? You're in Cardiff, but on the web, your website is filled with fascinating insights, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can find me at oblimey.com.
oblimey.com.
.com, that's right. It's got a very ranty blog about navigating the process of kind of validating your startup's idea and unlocking why customers buy. I'm also on LinkedIn as well. It's Lucy_Heskins. And again, I'm on Twitter, but nobody else seems to be at the moment.
So. I'm still on Twitter, but yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I'm on Mastodon and yeah, all sorts of things. We'll have to see how that channel develops.
Yeah, 100%.
Lucy, thanks so much. It was great to speak. Really appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody. We'll be back with another episode soon. But that was Lucy Heskins talking about how to hire or not to hire an agency.
Thanks for listening to the Business of Software podcast. For more information, go to businessofsoftware.org.